Drinking this album, listen to the booze. I think it would pair well, if only for you, 'cause it's album approved.
Hello, folks. And let me give you the warmest welcome to season 4 of Album Reprise, the stickiest music podcast. We've freaking done it, y'all. This show is so hot and cheesy, just like a quesadilla. My name is Sarah.
Ooh, I'm going to eat the show up now. Dip it in a little sauce, little sour cream.
That sounds yum.
Yeah. I can lift a car, I guess. My name is Zach.
And I hope I closed all my windows when I parked here in the rain. This is Josh.
It is a rainy June day.
Yeah.
Well, we are so excited to have you, Josh. Josh Kane is the lead singer and guitarist of the Chicago band Pretty Pleased. You all already know all about that because they are just releasing their new album, and it's fantastic. The name of the new album, which will already be out by the time this episode airs, is Classic Rock. Is it classic rock, Josh?
So classic.
In some sense. as far as genre, no. Which is like, you know, the main thing of classic rock.
Yeah. Okay. It's a genre. So in all the senses except the original meaning of the word classic rock. Okay, exactly. I love it. That's fantastic.
A subversion, huh?
Josh has also done some pretty cool things in his tenure playing guitar and drums. He's done an Audio Tree session with one of his other bands, All K Cool. In high school, he opened up for Knuckle Puck, which is pretty amazing. He has opened up for Remo Drive and Pretty Please. And he has also been in a picture with Scarlett Johansson.
And we don't know any other details about that. So can you please tell us about that right
sure.
now? Fuck all the other stuff. It's cool. It's great.
I have the picture.
Oh, thank God. Ooh, yeah. Yes.
But backstory comes first.
Yes.
So my great aunt used to be the chairwoman of Paramount Pictures.
Oh.
I used to love, I mean, still do, but like was obsessed with SpongeBob mm-hmm. as a kid. So Paramount Pictures put out the original SpongeBob movie. Mm. And she, I don't know, like invited or just allowed my family to fly to Hollywood and attend the premiere at Man's Chinese Theater.
That's so fucking fun.
I still don't know how that happened. The entire voice cast was there. And of course, I knew every detail about all of them. Again, obsessed. I still know a lot of their names. And Scarlett Johansson was the voice of King Neptune's daughter.
Oh.
I don't think I knew that.
That's so funny.
So we were just walking the red carpet. My dad had a disposable camera. This quality looks like a disposable camera.
The fact that it's a disposable camera makes the story so much better. Yes.
And I think he was like taking a picture of Scarlett Johansson just like because she's a celebrity, you know.
Of course.
Sure. It's not weird. And maybe he was like, Josh, get in the photo. And I'm like, I don't wanna. And, so I just.
Is this you photobombing?
Yeah. So I'll just show it. I'm on the bottom.
Oh my God.
It takes a second.
I thought that was like a puppy.
Well, that's 100%
how old are you in this picture?
This is 2004. So I was 10.
Oh my
it's
God.
Just for just the listener.
Tiny little.
I would love to post that as a spoiler without context.
Yes, yes, if we may.
We'll tag Scarlett Johansson.
And no one else.
For the listener,
yes.
It's a beautiful picture of Scarlett Johansson.
It's like really nice.
She looks like a model.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like it's from the 90s. It's cool too.
She's with her friend, and I am sticking my nose and forehead up from the bottom of the frame.
Like way closer to the camera.
Yeah. So like way out of focus. You can't even see my eye, but like my nose is pointed up and forehead. And it's really, really funny.
That's awesome. So oh, thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking about that.
Yeah. Well, something else amazing is the album that we'll be talking about today and the drink that we'll be sipping alongside with it. Josh, would you tell the folks listening at home what we're talking about and what we're drinking?
We're talking about Walk the Moon, the debut LP1 full length by the band Walk the Moon. That's the title as well. Paired with that, we are drinking Blue Moon. I wish I could say any other facts about Blue Moon.
Mm-hmm. It is a beer.
It is a beer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a Belgian.
That'd be a wheat ale?
Yeah.
I know it's from Colorado, which the band is not.
No. The band is not. But Blue Moon reminds me of college. When I could go to bars. I think I had like 1 year of illegal activity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean legal activity.
Right, right.
I stayed
right
at home. But I used to drink Blue Moons kind of exclusively in college. And it was around that time I bonded with some people over this album and Walk the Moon and as a whole. And they're both light and crispy. So I figured they would pair well.
Yeah.
And with substance, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's good to the last drop.
Yeah.
You're so right. Yeah, this is like such an easy breezy summer recording session. Yeah. I really like the vibes we've curated here today.
100%.
Yeah. I'm also personally very excited because this is like, if I had like a Mount Rushmore of like indie records, like this would probably be like the Abe Lincoln or whatever. Like I really have loved this album since like high school. So when someone picked it, I was like, yes, like finally I'll be in my element.
my runner up is Transatlanticism by Nick. I know you did that, but also I always say, not that it's not true, but my favorite band of all time is Death Cab for Cutie.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So I wanted to do something a little bit different for me at least. And, maybe my friends might listen to this and find out something new about me.
Yeah. I love that. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Maybe I will find out something new about me.
It is a journey, a spiritual experience.
It really is. I'm not saying it's like a therapy session, but
I could use it.
We might cry.
You're going to feel way better. We're not going to charge you $150.
Yeah, regardless of insurance. No copay for this.
Wow. Thank you.
No copay.
I'm about to cancel my own therapist because that's the situation.
Zach, what's your background with this album? I'm curious.
Oh, I could like sing all the words to perfect like so many of these songs.
Yeah.
I just love that bands come on are doing like a lot of 2010s indie rock.
Yeah.
I've said this before and I'll say it again. I think I'm at that age where I'm like, man, music was better when I was a kid.
The sun shone brighter.
I don't mean that
brighter
earnestly, but I'm starting to like feel it in a certain way.
Mm-hmm. No, I do feel like we were very blessed during that time.
I know. So a huge soft spot.
That was, first of all, great era.
Mm-hmm.
And then around that time, iTunes was still a thing. And they would put out the free single of the week. And they were always really good.
Yeah.
I believe Anna Sun was one of those singles.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And then that also introduced me to like Cold War Kids. Not that I really got into them, but and I'm pretty sure Imagine Dragons.
Yeah.
But just a phase.
For that. I remember the iTunes single of the week like got me into Lord. I think like Ribs was a free single. Huh. And I was like, oh, work.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So I miss it.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. Yeah. iTunes.
Game time?
I'm ready.
This is a game I've curated called Moon Science. It's based off another game you may have heard if you're familiar with the pod, Poop Science.
And I've not heard of that.
And I'll give everyone a quick history.
Yes, the lore.
So Pop Science is this name of this comedy book written by this incredible author. I forget the name of.
For sure.
Where he has taken questions posed in song and answered them with science. And so we've done a segment on the podcast where we take a look at some of them and discuss them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But for this, I've created a slight spinoff about moon science.
Mm-hmm.
At least just some songs about the moon.
Yeah.
And then I've taken some of their lyrics and I'm going to tell you about the science.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
I can't wait to learn.
Lord
knows I need it.
I think their motto was like music for astronauts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's completely made up.
No, I'm glad you agree. I'm buying what you're selling.
Whose motto? Walk the Moon?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Their motto was like, hey, what if astronauts in space like wanted to group to fun indie pop? And they were like, we got it.
Yeah. We're here.
I was like, here's track number one. Mm-hmm. Fly Me to the Moon of Moon Science.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. And let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
Mars Hard does cut. Have springs.
What?
Yeah.
Springs like water spring or spring like season spring?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, I think they did discover. I don't think there's like spring springs. There's frozen water on Mars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit.
Which is kind of a spring in the frozen sense.
Yeah.
Who discovered that? Bruce Springsteen?
Bruce Springsteen. And Sting, who we're going to talk about.
Oh, whoa. Shit.
Yeah.
Spring Sting?
Spring Sting.
It's in the spring sting on Mars. yeah, so Mars has four seasons, summer, autumn, and winter. Track number next.
Cool.
I thought this was a game.
Right. I guess the game, the fun of it is we're putting facts in our brain.
Yeah. Okay, so that was like a free space, or we still don't participate? I'm cool with it.
It's like a discussion piece, so okay. You guys can like tell me how you feel about
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love that they have seasons. I love that for Mars.
Where kids react to moon signs.
Do you guys know this track?
I'm not familiar.
No. It's CCR.
Okay.
Are you going to tell us that the moon doesn't rise?
So fun fact, the moon doesn't rise, the earth spins. Actually, I don't know if that's true or not.
No, I definitely, well, yeah.
The sun doesn't rise, the earth spins.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. What does the moon do?
It also orbits.
Just chills.
It just chills.
And it orbits the earth.
Yeah. Oh.
Goes around.
Well, my science fact for this one is actually a historical fact.
Oh.
That even, so this song, Bad Moon Rising, by CCR, is kind of, some interpret it as like a Vietnam protest song.
Sure.
Which is pretty common for CCR in the 70s. But in the lyrics, he says, I hear a hurricane blowing, I know the end is coming soon. And so lots of cultures associate a full moon, a bad mood rising, with bad things. So in ancient Mesopotamia, a lunar eclipse was considered a direct assault on the king.
Oh, shit.
And so they would all, like, protect their king.
From the moon?
From the moon.
They're so sensitive. That's not a personal attack.
They grab a spear and, like, stab it at the sky and be like, back you! Back!
They would, like, cover their food and water. And pregnant women weren't allowed to, like, do household chores. For whatever reason, they were like, the moon. Protect the baby.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's interesting how we've come like full circle, because now it's like when there's a full moon, it's kind of a spiritual thing to like put water out and like have it soak up all that good all moon juice.
Oh, that is a thing, right?
It is
you
a thing.
You can go online and buy moon water.
Yeah, yeah. And like recharge your crystals and like do rituals. And
Josh
shit.
Is very confused.
Yeah,
you haven't bought your moon water
moon.
This month?
No.
Yeah.
No. Is it like coconut water?
It's like coconut
it's
water.
Like really hydrating.
For coconut, they just let the moon look at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Whatever.
Moon's like. Sick. Love that water.
Oh, that good water? Work. That's moon water.
Yeah.
That's moon water.
The moon actually just tinkles in it a little bit.
Next question.
Okay, so number last. This one applies to the album we're talking about and the band.
Gorgeous. Is there going to be a quiz?
Yes.
Shit. Fuck.
Moon's peeing
is
into and, water.
And the moon is scary and bad.
Moon's scary. Question number one, is the moon scary?
Only sometimes.
Yes to the Mesopotamians.
Yes to
good,
the Mesopotamians.
Good.
Protect your king when the moon is too bright. can you guys, we'll turn this into a game. Can you guys guess the name of the song? Or who sings it?
Oh, I actually know the answer just because
good,
I read
I
the
know.
Wikipedia today.
Yeah.
It is the artist. Do you want me to say it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, please.
It's the Police. I've never heard the song, but I recognize like this type of
you recognize
genre.
The policiness of it.
I believe the song is called "Walking on the Moon."
Uh-huh. And will you tell the folks at home the fun fact you read on Wikipedia that I also did?
According to Wikipedia, "Walk the Moon," the band derived their name from that title of that song, "Walking on the Moon." Just change it up a little bit. I like what they've done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Solid reference. good spin into it. Mm-hmm. Fits the band mm-hmm. well.
I have a fun fact. This is not science. This is actually just about Sting.
Sting science.
Sting science. he originally wrote this song when he was drunk in a hotel room in Munich. And the original lyrics were walking around the room, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh.
That's cute.
But he later changed it to walking around the moon, not walking around the moon, walking on the moon. Because it sounded way cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like walking around the room is for nerds and babies. And babies. I gotta go to space.
Space.
Yeah. That's where cool boys go.
And in the song, he talks about giant steps that you have to take walking on the moon so you don't break your leg. And I thought that was funny because it was originally about being drunk in Munich. So you also, in both situations, you have to walk carefully so you don't break your leg.
Is that true with, like, the moon gravity? Is, like, you gotta step big or it fucks with you?
So, yeah. So, it's, like, 1/6. So, here's the science part. It is 1/6 gravity.
Right.
And so...
1/6 of the Earth's, like, gravity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if you gotta kind of, like, do that weird hop because you're in all this space suit and, like, you could, like, fall over easily. Because you're so thrown off by the gravity.
That's kind of crazy. Yeah. Me never going to the moon. I'm like, whoa, good to know. Let me write that down.
Me never getting drunk in Munich.
Not. Hey, never say never. Season 4, we're going worldwide.
Season 4, we're going to the moon.
Yeah, because that's our one Munich listener.
Well, thank you guys for indulging me with moon science. I just like science about the moon.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Next episode, we're going to talk about dinosaurs because I'm 4 years old.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Well, shall we get into the record?
Yes.
Into the opening track. Does anyone know why this frickin' song is called Quesadilla?
I don't. Do you?
I don't either.
So there's a lot of park vibes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe it's like a snack they would bring to the park.
Yeah. I was like trying to look it up. Because I just kind of, like I said, I've been listening to this record for a while, and I just kind of never questioned it. I was like, oh yeah, that's Quesadilla. Never references a quesadilla, not even a little bit. And I tried to, like, go on Reddit. In, like, I was diving into, like, the Walk the Moon subreddit. And someone was like, love that song. Don't know why the fuck it's called Quesadilla. And someone replied, no one had consequent, like, concrete evidence or, like, explanation. I'll just jury's still out on why it's called this. But they said it's probably called that because quesadillas are good and this song is good.
Whoa, that's logic.
Wow. Yeah.
How many upvotes?
Oh, I don't remember. I just copied it into my Google Notes.
Right there. That's moon science.
Right, right.
When the moon is made of cheese, quesadillas are made of cheese.
And then like when the moon hits pie. Your eye, yeah, it is. When the moon hits your eye like a big quesadilla.
Quesadilla.
Es amor.
Es amor.
Can I toss out a theory for quesadilla?
Yes, yeah. Please.
It's the start of the song is important and steady.
Yeah.
It's got that synth little. And then the inside, it's like.
Yeah.
I just didn't like that. But then it ends with like another steady stop, like a quesadilla.
Tortilla. Fun stuff. Tortilla.
It's got layers.
Yeah. Like an ogre.
Onions have layers.
Yeah.
My other interpretation was this song's kind of about love.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, love's kind of hot and gooey and cheesy.
Yeah.
Like a quesadilla.
Yeah, sure.
Again, jury's still out. These are our theories. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Leave us a comment in the comments below what you think.
Make sure to like and subscribe.
Make sure to smash that freaking like button. What did y'all think of this song as an opening track? How do you think it sets the
wonderful.
Tone? Yeah.
Wonderful. It just feels like a no-brainer to open an album with one instrument. A lot of my favorite albums have that.
Mm.
I can list like every album, but I'm not going to.
Patreon content.
Right. That's for the bonus episode.
Where Josh lists every album that's ever existed.
with a one instrument intro. I get carried away to their show. I don't even remember if I've seen them maybe once. And mm-hmm. I think Lollapalooza, I get that confused with like the Wombats, because that was like the same era. I listened to them.
Also stellar.
It just, it sets the tone. It's like this sparkly electronic thing that's really gonna come in hard. You just like know, like there's like the drop, you know, a dubstep drop. But not actually.
But fun and indie pop.
Yeah, right. Fun and then like just like huge drums.
Yeah.
I really like, I think it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I think I know what you're talking about, where the drop happens, because there is kind of like a slow build, right? One instrument, kind of slow build during the verse, and then the chorus hits, and I'm like, oh.
Oh, we're dancing. This is... Let's fucking go. This is Walk the Moon, baby.
But it's like the oscillating synth, I think, is the correct word to say. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Cam, you're a synth guy. Jump in.
It's arpeggiating.
But it's just so good when it hits with the chorus. That's at 44 seconds.
I'm into it. I'm going. I'm there. And I'm clicking on it. And we're going to listen to it.
Mm-hmm. When I see your long hair come down, it turned my head inside out. And I want you, I want you, I still do.
Yum.
So good.
So fun.
Yeah.
I have also seen, I've only seen them live one time. It was at Summerfest in Milwaukee in like 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So I was about to be a senior in high school, and spiritually, Walk the Moon is so fun live.
Mm-hmm.
Like very participatory, very dancey. And I was also close to a boy I had a crush on who I was never involved with at this show. And I shouldn't have had a crush on him because he was like the leader of the Young Republicans Club at my high school.
That existed?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm from Wisconsin.
Sorry about that.
Sorry to hear that.
I know. Red flag, but I still thought he was cute and he could do a backflip.
Oh, that's where he gets
I that. Know. I know. But I just remember Mr. Wives opened at the show. Another gorgeous band.
Yes. Another free iTunes single.
Yeah. And I remember at one point, Mandy, the lead singer for Mr. Wives, during their set is like, fuck the patriarchy, it's fucking bullshit. And then just starts doing like push-ups. I look over at him and he's mortified. He's so frightened. And I was like, so that's a really good memory.
That's like how you found out he was Republican?
No, I knew beforehand.
Okay.
But seeing that in that moment, I was like,
what are you gonna do?
What you gonna do? Ships in the night. But yeah, this song's so fun.
I think it's a power move to, and I didn't really register it until now, but to have a chorus, you can tell it's the chorus of the song, but with no words.
Yeah.
And you're still singing along.
Right.
And you have to dance.
There's so many good synth lines in this whole album that are just like, wow, this is the best melody I've ever heard.
Yes, absolutely.
Instantly catchy.
Yeah.
A dance album. Mm-hmm. Through and through, even with the wordless choruses.
Mm-hmm. I also was with someone and had a bad time at a...
At a Walk the Moon show? Oh, shit. Tell me about it.
This is when I was still working festivals, so I was working Mambi at the Beach.
Oh, I've been to Mambi.
I was trying to figure out if it still happens anymore. I don't think it does.
I don't know. Yeah. COVID might have.
They had to stop it one year for the birds. They were like, hey, this is bad for the birds.
Sure.
And I was like, oh. Sorry, birds.
Yeah.
We did this tea for so long.
What, it's an outdoor show?
Yeah, it was like on the beach and like somewhere.
It's kind of like South Loopy beach area. Yeah, like kind of close to like Soldier Field.
Yeah.
How did they know what the birds were thinking?
They actually sent angry emails. And also sent carrier pigeons.
And that's the basis for the game Angry Birds?
Yes. Got it. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's about bureaucracy.
Sure. You hold the festival until the angry birds tell you to stop.
Yes. And if you don't, they're going to launch themselves into your buildings and knock them down.
But so we just got off. We're just hanging out with some of the other workers that worked at the festival. And so we saw like some EDM show. Who's the guy that works with Thundercat?
I'm going to just start naming EDM artists I know / electronic artists.
Okay, go.
David Guetta.
No.
Steve Aoki.
No.
That's all I
Marshmello.
Close. That's more in the realm, I feel
that's
like.
That's closer. Yeah. Skrillex?
No. Flying Lotus. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
So we see that set, and then we walk a little over and see the Walk the Moon set.
Yes.
And one of the coworkers was like, man, Flying Lotus was so much better. Like, that was real music, real ingenuity. This just feels like someone made it. And it was, like, during, like, Anna Sun or something. Like, someone was hired to make it for a rom-com.
No.
And I was like, you're wrong about all of that.
Right, right. And did you kick them in the mouth?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Imagine having strong feelings against Walk the Moon.
I know.
For Flying Lotus? I mean.
Yeah. But we will touch on that later.
Well, I am full of this quesadilla. Should we get to Lisa Baby?
Lisa Baby.
That bass, like, we play it from the get-go.
Ugh. Dirty.
So dirty. Rewind one line.
Yeah.
Cam, that'll be funny if you do that in post. Okay.
I thought it was in my head, the word 17 is in there.
Oh.
It might be later, but now it sounds like he's talking about a 17-year-old.
Oh, I know they say something about never thought this would happen at 20.
That's true.
Yeah.
But 23 would rhyme better, and I think they just didn't want to be Blink-182.
Sure.
If you sing 23, you're instantly, like, you turn into Mark Hoppus.
Yeah.
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 This might be the Mandela effect.
Where, oh, like, yeah.
I think something happened in the past, and it's not true.
Yeah.
That happens to me all the time on this podcast, where I've, like, liked the song for 12 years, or 10 in this case, and then I looked at the lyrics, and I'm like, oh, that's not the lyric
I've
at
been
all.
I've saying the wrong thing for so long.
That just happens anytime you look at Fall Out Boy lyrics.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, it's all thanks to those YouTube videos.
Yeah. The lyric videos.
The, like, iMovie, like.
They're like, I'm following a bug to halftime videos. Did you see those? No. Where they would just take the Fall Out Boy lyrics and put silly ones there. Very, very weird album.
Cute. Yeah. Cute. This song made me feel like a baddie when I first listened to it. I was like, this song makes me want to strut and a dress.
Yes.
I'm not even a human being,
I'm jealous
bitch.
Of the lady he's singing about.
I know.
Like, wow, who is this woman?
Who is Lisa? It's like Lisa in HR. You're like, damn, Lisa.
Yeah, it's a strut worthy song for sure. Yeah.
Very much.
It's the tempo, it's the downbeats, the a lot of the songs are like four on the floor with the bass drum, but the way it just comes and goes between lines is like you can like stop to gather yourself for those eight beats or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you're back to strutting.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. This might be a good like drag number, you know? Mm. Take a minute, you like collect a couple dollar bills, and then you do like a little wig reveal.
At what line do you death drop?
When the guitars get all crazy and heavy at this point, you're gonna spin around and death drop.
Drop. That's so good.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous.
So good.
Kind of heavy for Walk the Moon.
No. Yeah. It's in like that crunchy bass tone, I think, that kind of adds a really nice floor to it.
Yeah. But then we get back into the dancey-dancey with Next in Line.
It's impossible not to dance to any of these songs.
No, yeah.
With the exception of Fiscaria.
Yeah, that's the one you cry to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the one you murder Jesus to.
That's when you're done being at the club and you're like in the Uber and you've had a couple bevos.
It is kind of a quick
with
turning point.
With your best friend.
With your best friend.
Your brother.
And you're like, oh my God, I can't even fucking believe it. And you're in the back of an Uber and like nothing really has happened. Mm-hmm. You're like, this guy's looking at me and I can't even believe
it. That's a phenomenal image you painted.
Thank you.
That's really accurate.
We'll meet that girl later.
So this one's about when you're in line to get a quesadilla at the taco truck.
Oh, are you saying this is a rock opera?
I think so.
It's a concept album.
A little out of order.
And it all comes back to the quesadilla?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm into that. So my eyes are on the road and your mind is on, or my mind is on your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The body of the quesadilla.
While we're driving to Taco Bell.
Crunchwrap Supreme.
My hand is on the stick shift and your hand is on my hand. We're both driving together to Taco Bell.
You're in the drive through and yes. Hands on the stick shift to say, you can't go yet. There's a
right,
car in front.
Right. Yeah. This is in park.
She yeah. says, wait, I want the Diablo sauce.
Right. Yeah. Right. Can I please get a Baja Blast Freeze? I'm craving it.
Yeah. Until the car moves, you're next in line.
There you go.
Dog. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did, like, coming back to this album, I haven't really, like, listened to it front to back in a minute, but I was like, I kind of love the way they write about, like, lovey-dovey stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it's very sweet, like, and akin to the way that I think about lovey-dovey relationship stuff, where it's kind of whimsical and it's kind of silly and it's very earnest. Mm-hmm. And even, like, Lisa Baby, it's not like, damn, girl, you got a hot butt. It's like, you're not even a human when you're in that dress.
Yeah, he's I'm like, I'm memorized.
Let's
yeah.
go. Yeah. I don't know. I really like it. So with this song, like, won't you stay shotgun till the day I die? I'm mm-hmm. like, that's very sweet.
It's not, baby, stay with me. Right. Baby, don't leave me. It's like,
baby.
It goes a little bit further.
Yeah. And I think it's nice.
It's very valuable
yeah,
in
yeah.
songwriting. I'm usually not a love song kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I actually stray mm-hmm. away. Mm-hmm. If a song title is just a girl's name, I'm probably not going to listen to it.
Yeah.
But luckily I listen to albums without reading the title track as I go.
Oh, interesting.
So I couldn't tell you what, like, I'm really still to this day, like, not sure about, like, the middle chunk of song titles.
Uh-huh.
But it's just good enough of a song.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and Lisa Baby, that. I can bypass.
Do you write mm-hmm. songs at all? Like love songs at all? Not write songs. I'm going to clean up all that.
Have you ever written a song?
Do you write love songs at all?
No. No. It's if anything, like post love.
Oh.
It's never during love.
Mm-hmm.
The love period. Yeah, it could be before too.
We just got to get someone out here, break your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah. There's a part of me that's like, as someone who's dating someone who writes music, I'm like, does writing music about the relationship that's happening right now, is that like a bad omen? I don't know. There's a part of me that's scared that like if there were to be a song written and released about a relationship that's happening right now, mm-hmm. it's like, well, egg on your fucking face if that goes yeah, badly.
Knock on wood, right?
Right. Huge knock on wood. Maybe it's like a weird superstition thing.
Yeah, or I saw a TikTok recently that was like, if you're dating a songwriter, be prepared to be intimately involved with every one of his past relationships.
Mm-hmm. So the stuff that's not out as of the recording of this episode, new album coming out July 7th on all streaming platforms, classic rock.
Mm-hmm. Be there, be rock. Square.
Link in description.
Link in description.
A lot of the songs are about past relationships. Mm. And currently my latest relationship, my current relationship, it's going wonderfully.
Hell yeah.
I might even have to write songs during the good parts.
Right.
For future music. But yeah, it's about the past relationships. And I mean, last one ended in 2019. So, and that's how long we've had the songs written and not put out since. But my girlfriend asks, like, is this about that one girl, your ex? And I'm like, yeah, sorry, it's an old song. Whatever you hear might not be accurate to how I feel now, just because we're growing every day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And also, COVID screwed everything up. So.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it was good for the plot and the art.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's all content.
Well, this next one's about relationships you have with your college professors.
Oh?
Who just have good names. Do you know about this?
No. What?
I only just read that on Wikipedia. Yeah.
I don't know about this.
Anna Sun is the name of one of their college professors.
Oh, and that they just, rules.
They just thought it was so good.
Hell yeah.
And then, so here's this. She thought it was like a little too suggestive. Uh-huh. And she asked them to like change it, and they didn't, but they did later apologize.
Oh my God.
So sorry, Anna. It's a banger of a song. You
should. Yeah, absolutely. I'd be honored. Me writing a song called Jim DeRogatis. Like, yeah. Paul D'Amato.
Those are good song names. Paul.
I mean, this one's a classic. Like, a classic. Even if you weren't like deep in the trenches of. 2012. Yeah, 2012 indie. I'm sure you know at least some of the words of this mm-hmm. song. It's so good. It's so windows down in your car, like it's at the beach, like yeah.
It's anthemic.
Anthemic.
It's you, they make you chant along with them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I believe this was the iTunes single of the week.
Sure. Man, getting that for free? Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Hell yeah. And, yeah.
A lot of people I know who have heard of Walk the Moon or like have sought them out, this was their intro song.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was on like a Lollapalooza compilation at the time.
Fun.
I've heard that from a couple people. But they really went all out. I believe this is their first RCA Records release. So like first mainstream thing after mm-hmm. their initial EP. So they did great. Great marketing
mm-hmm.
To get where they are now, especially. I think they played Letterman the day this album dropped.
Shit.
So. Yeah. They kind of like really came out swinging.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I remember reading that they were touring kind of nonstop when this album dropped and like right before it.
Yeah.
Just like we want as many people as possible mm-hmm. to hear this stuff, which I'm into. It's mm-hmm. really fun to see live.
I think this song hits so good because of the bridge.
Mm.
This is like easily for me one of the top 10 bridges of the 2000s.
Yeah.
When like usually like no one like loves the bridge, right? But this bridge is so good.
Yeah.
Let's play that.
It's
let's
at 2:30.
Please.
Yeah.
You're so smart, Zach.
I'm just like, oh,
the it's way so it, the good. Kind
of, yeah.
No, yeah. Because like everyone knows this intro, of course.
Of course.
Of course. Let's give a little love to the bridge.
Live my life without station wagon rides, fumbling round the back, not one seatbelt on, wait for summertime.
And then when the vocals come back in with it.
Now it's all a wash. Now it's all a wash. Live my life without coming up for air. Now it's all a wash.
I don't think I would like the song as much without that bridge.
It really
it has everything. It has everything.
It really brings it down nice and slow mm-hmm. and like takes you somewhere else. And then you come back into it. You're just like, hell yeah, Anna
yeah.
Sun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like that part in the song Shout where he's like, a little bit softer now. A little bit softer now. And then when they come back in with the chorus, it's like, a little bit louder now.
The first half is like, it makes you think like, this might be one of those regular old bridges.
Of course.
Where they go into like some kind of minor sounding keys and chill. And then, no, it's time to chant. It's time to build up those forces.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we're going to keep four on the floor the whole time. It's going to be a quiet floor. It's a little real sensitive four on the floor.
We've got slippers on.
Yeah. Four slippers on the floor.
Slippers on the floor. I also love how freaking whimsical some of these lyrics are. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The part where he's like, I'm faster than you. I'm like, that's cute.
Yeah, like they're playing just, tag.
Right. Or like I'm racing my bike down the hill and like you're like taunting someone. Mm-hmm. I just think it's so cute.
It's wholesome.
I eat that up for breakfast.
This was a great song to be high school in when it came out.
So good.
Yeah. Firecrackers in the east. My car parked south, right? That's shit you worry about when you're in high school, where the firecrackers are and where your car is parked.
Yeah.
Imagine knowing cardinal directions.
Dog, not to like, well, we don't live in that house anymore. Not to like dox my old house, but it was really close to where they set off the 4th of July firecrackers.
Oh, no.
Like I lived really close to my middle school and they set them off at the middle school.
They were in east.
They were south. And one year we could like post up in my backyard and just watch the firecrackers from my backyard. We were really close. But one year they kind of were going and going and going and then stopped a little too early for the show to be done. And then you could sort of see like an orange and a smoke.
Oh.
And we were like, is the field on fire? And so my dad gets on his bike because we lived right by a bike trail that went right to the middle school and just alone rides to the middle school to investigate this firework fire. And he rides back like 10 minutes later. He's like, yeah, they caught the field on fire. So then they didn't do fireworks there for a little bit. No, thank God. No.
Did he call someone?
Nah, they were already on it. We were also really close to the fire station. It was a small town. Yeah, we were close to everything. So we knew where the fireworks were.
And the firefighters are just always ready on 4th of July.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Celebrate safely, everyone.
Yes, please.
Yeah,
that is, take good precautions.
Hope you have celebrated.
That is last week.
Yeah.
Next week.
It's Tuesday.
Depending on where you are in time right now.
Yeah.
Where we are in time, it's next week. Where you are in time listening, it's last week.
Yeah. Or multiple weeks in the future.
Yeah, you could listen to this twice.
Yeah.
That's true.
And I hope you do. Get those numbers up.
Hey, we really appreciate you guys liking and streaming and sharing, but what we really need you to do is listen to this episode twice.
Right. Thank you.
Daddy's got to make room.
Well, let's rope it back in, maybe with a tightrope, perhaps.
Okay.
To the track number next, tightrope.
So fun.
Which is a great idea to pit these two back to back.
So fun.
I think in some albums it wouldn't work, but because I love these songs so much, 4KNO, right? Just been right there.
Right. I also love a song that does a little clap clap, you know?
Yeah.
Where you're like, yeah, clap clap.
Yeah, clap
where
clap.
Everyone goes clap clap.
Uh-huh.
So fun.
It's anthemic in its own right.
Exactly. It's participatory.
It's audience participation.
Yes.
I read the read because I wasn't close enough.
Okay, literate.
If I saw
okay, whoa. Reading.
You read books? Okay. Oh.
What can I say?
All right.
Wikipedia's
English comprehension.
they would like, at least in their early years, would pass out face paint to the crowd.
Mm.
And that's something they've done. I think they're on the album cover of Talking is Hard. I can't picture if they have face paint yet.
So I've looked it up. They actually don't have face paint on this album, but they did paint their shirts. They did paint their shirts.
We'll count it.
Yeah.
Do you remember where you were when you first listened to Talking is Hard?
When did that album come out? Like 2014?
15.
So I was a junior in high school. I was a junior in high school. So I probably heard it like through Tumblr, honestly. That was kind of like blogging about indie music. And like memes and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I probably heard it first there. And then I worked at Party City in high school, which was in the same strip mall as a record store.
Mm.
So I would go there sometimes on my lunch breaks and buy records instead. And I would come back and they'd be like, that's not Subway. I'd be like, no, it's a record. I'm not like other girls. So I think that was the sitch.
That's a good story.
Yeah.
Do you remember liking it though?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I really liked it. And then I remember, so I also worked at my school. We had like a school store and we would play like top 40 radio because that's like what the school district approved.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember the first time I heard Shut Up and Dance come on, like on the radio, I was like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just played the fuck out of it. And I still like that album a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked the song at the time. And I still have a soft spot for it. But I know now, like, there are a lot of people who got kind of sick of that song and just kind of attribute the whole band to that song because it was, like, their most frequent exposure to it. And I'm like, y'all are dumb because that album has some really good songs on it.
Well, let me be the first to say, I think I'm dumb.
Oh, yeah?
For that reason. Yeah, just the oversaturation of that song.
Right.
That part I feel comfortable in saying that's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
But I definitely, it tainted the album for me.
That might have been the song the girl at Mambi at the Beach was talking about.
Oh, yeah. That's fair.
Yeah, I guess Flying Lotus.
Because it's not one of their best songs. It's not. The one that got the biggest, but. Yeah.
I was driving on the highway listening to the album for the first time. But I noticed it was getting like more poppy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of always been just something I don't like that much.
Yeah.
Unless you're like specifically a pop artist. I don't know. I'm that guy who's like, they went all mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
They changed their genre. But this self-titled is banger after banger after banger.
Totally.
Yeah. And you can tell like they're by the same group.
Yeah.
But this, the Talking Is Hard kind of feels like a step in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you say I'm dumb, I might give it another shot.
I think
it
deserves it. Because I am the end all be all of music opinions. But yeah, there are a couple tracks on that album that I have soft spots for. But I will say, after Talking Is Hard, I did kind of fall off.
I feel like we can't talk about this song without hearing just a little bit of the intro.
Yeah, of Tightrope?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's...
Oh yeah, Tightrope.
Another one of those synth leads, dude.
Yeah.
The tone, especially.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's a part of me that's like, oh my God, like copyright. Like, I don't want to just play a music or a minute of the song straight. Mm-hmm, but this is one of those songs that's just gets fucking right into it and just like keeps it going. Mm-hmm. Here we are. Here's the next part. Every part is so good. I love a song that doesn't waste fucking time. Time is money.
This song helped me realize like they use toms very effectively.
Mm.
They want to hit. In this case, some kind of like an offbeat of the actual, not offbeat, kind of like the two count of a phrase, and comparing that to Imagine Dragons, which I believe was on like the same Lollapalooza bill that I saw them just like at this peak, when they Imagine Dragons just kind of use toms all the time and for like everything, and I think that's really unique of Walk the Moon to just accent and not overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just throughout the whole album. Shiver, Shiver, especially.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not a very tom-heavy drummer, you don't think?
No. I guess not.
it's kind of like if you're always using toms-heavy, then you're never using tom-heavy,
mm-hmm.
right?
I feel like a physical difference when I'm just like, there's a beat where I'm just chilling on the toms for a bit, uh-huh. and then I switch to not toms, and it just feels like you're in like this low place during the tom part, and then you're like completely out of the water and just a different vibe.
You're like, okay, now I'm a person.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Now we're slamming and jamming.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, the drumming on this, like, it's like kind of disco-y at sometimes. And, like, I think it's very well chosen. None of it's, like, wildly crazy, but it's all, like, the right drum part.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of very tactful, like, a delicious little 7-layer bean dip.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we get, like, a lot of payoff still. Like, I feel like these songs still feel very full.
Mm-hmm.
And fun and dancey and like you're not missing anything. Like there's still a lot going on.
Yeah,
totally.
It's very tactful.
It's very cohesive as a band.
Totally.
They're absolutely playing within each other, highlighting one person or a couple people at a time.
These cats are cooking.
it's a great blend.
I just wanted to say I really like this line. To each his own, to each his own or her own.
Allies. but nobody who uses any other pronoun was 2012.
That's the line?
Yeah.
I always thought it was
own. Yeah. No, I thought so too.
Or her own.
What?
Yeah, no, so. I did have kind of a Fall Out Boy lyric experience looking at some of these. Cause you know, you listen to the album for so long and you just sing what you think it is and you're like, oh, I fucking know what it is.
Yeah.
I've listened to this shit forever. And you look at genius.com and get humbled.
They have a pop-up that says, "We know you got this wrong."
Right? Clippy pops up. He's like,
I see you're trying to sing the song.
I see you've been a fool for 10 years. But I think I am. I'm going to, hey, if I can be vulnerable, I think I'm still going to sing the song and go, oh, because that's more fun to me.
As soon as I walk out the door, I'm going to forget that.
Yeah.
I promise.
That's fine.
Perfect.
That's just my favorite lyric of the whole song.
Yeah.
That's cool.
No worries.
Well, I'm glad it's yours. I'm glad it's yours.
To each his own.
To each his or her own.
Yeah.
Well, before we get into the next track, can we do an AC break?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We'll take a quick pause.
Jenny, I got your number. You're number 6 on this album. We were trying to decide if it was 6 or 7, but it's 6. That's the number Jenny is.
Oh, we're back?
You're listening to 97.1 Radio.
97.1 The Bruise.
Well, that should be a thing.
When are we going to get our own radio
station? When are we
going to
get our own FM radio station? Where we can't say half the shit we say on air.
Good at talking to.
Immediately get so many fines.
Sorry.
You can't say piss, shit, fart on FM radio.
Oh,
how many times do
I
have to tell you, album or bruise?
Jenny's got a body just like an hourglass. I'm taking my time. I want to be the sand inside that hourglass.
I think this is the bitch. Most... Not to be vulgar. No, right. Not vulgar.
You can say it. This is the horniest track.
Yeah. I want to say, like, explicit.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think still tasteful. Like,
yeah, it's still respectful.
I would feel still respected if someone wrote about me this way. And that's me as me. I'm not saying everyone would feel this way. But if you're going to say, like, damn, girl, you got a rockin' bod. I'm like, this is kind of a fun little
do it like poetic
simile. Yeah.
Do you think the guy who first coined like the hourglass figure was like kind of like weird about glass things?
Mm.
He's just like, oh, window panes. Oh.
Oh, are you saying was he aroused by glass things?
Yeah.
I'm wondering how you got to that conclusion.
Yeah, that's interesting to me.
The guy who coined body like an hourglass.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is that a phrase?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Hourglass figure. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Can I be vulnerable real quick and tell a story about...
about hourglasses?
About, I think the only time I ever peed my pants at school.
You think...
I'm pretty sure it was the only time.
Relevant, but yeah.
No, I promise we'll get there. So it was me and my friend. We're on the playground. And I don't know why she said this, because we were fully in, like, fourth grade. But she had complimented me at the time on having an hourglass figure, which I don't think an 8-year-old really has. But then she's swinging on the swings, and I'm doing that thing where you kind of, like, run in front of your friend while they're, like, back, you know? Did you ever do that?
In front or, like, through?
Like, in front of. In front of. Okay. You could do both. I was running in front of. And at one point, she goes, "I'm gonna crack that hourglass." And I don't know why, but it made me laugh so hard that I walked away and went and sat on a bench and peed in my pants. And then told nobody because I was embarrassed.
Until today, publicly on
Until
podcast.
Today. I've finally healed from it and I'm finally in a better place. Yeah. So this song only makes me think about that a little bit.
Josh, have you ever peed in a specific situation that applies directly to this album?
Does Sports Authority the Store apply to this album?
I think so.
We could always get there somehow.
We can get there somehow.
That's my only memory of peeing my pants. Back when Sports Authority was a store.
Yeah.
There is no way I can connect it.
We'll find a way.
We'll find a way.
We'll find a way.
Jenny was an employee at Sports Authority.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's stretching. Mm. I'm curious about your the delayed pee.
The delayed pee.
Yeah, you walked somewhere to relocate yourself.
Yeah, I didn't want to do it right then and there. I was embarrassed. I thought I was just like laughing, and I like took a moment to like laugh. And you know, sometimes when you laugh, you feel like you have pee.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, if this is going to happen, it's not going to happen right here in the middle of recess.
No, sure.
No. I need to go to the sidelines and have a private moment.
Okay.
Did
anyone, like, notice or call you out?
If they did notice, no one called me out.
Oh.
That's nice.
Which is kind of an ally moment.
Did you, like, go to the nurse? What'd you do?
It was close to the end of the day, and I was wearing a sweatshirt, so I think I just tied the sweatshirt around my waist. I was just like, I'll live with that.
Oh, no. Like, pee the whole day?
Yeah. Oh, no. Probably. And, like, now that I think about it, I'm like, oh, yeah. Maybe I should tell my therapist about that.
Someone from your fourth grade class is going to listen to this episode and be like,
oh, I knew it. I thought you smelled like pee, but I thought maybe it was Ryan.
Interesting. I don't know how to move on from that.
Yes.
Did this pee story give you a shiver? Is that what you're telling us, Josh? That it?
Yeah. Not one.
Two shivers.
Two shivers.
Shiver, shiver.
Track number 7, Shiver, Shiver. Isn't shiver kind of like a bad reaction? But he's kind of using this in like a good connotation.
Yeah. Like a thrill. Like a chill of a thrill of an adrenaline rush. Like, oh my gosh. Like, you know, when you're like next to someone you think is really cool. And it makes your tummy turn.
Mm-hmm. Let me just say, do 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 do. Oh, that's later. It goes, do 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 do.
That was really good.
That's a tasteful use of toms. One thing I've noticed about people that really like this genre of like 2010s pop, like I'm thinking of whenever we had August Hotel on to talk about Gold Rush, the whole episode they were like air drumming.
Yes.
So there's just something about this music that like just makes people like want to be involved with like these super good tom hits and like these fun rhythms that are like neither complicated like nor insane, but are just right. They're just good.
Audience participation.
Everyone is a drummer.
Everyone.
You've always got sticks in your back pocket.
Yeah.
Do 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 do. So I'm definitely noticing like I noticed the drums a lot more. Just having a percussion from band background. From concert band.
Totally.
Something about me when I listen to music is I think I said this on another podcast, but it's hard for me to register lyrical content. I hear the vocals, obviously. I just register them as like another instrument. And I don't really process it. It takes maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 listens before I actually realize what they're saying. So this made an impression on me early on. I might not have even known what he was talking about. Like those concepts of, you know, love.
I still don't understand those concepts.
It's okay.
Yeah.
You just need a couple more listens of the album, exactly. And then you'll get there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like that point. And some of these songs, like, they're repeating a lot, but not in, like, an untasteful way. So you don't need all that lyrical information to enjoy them, right?
Just get a couple, like, fun moments.
Yeah.
You're jamming through. I'm not sure how to properly, what to properly call this section, but the part where they're going, shall we get intimate again? And then the pop. I'm gonna play it.
That's good.
See what it's I mean so about good. The drums? These songs are just air drummable.
It's just so cute. Like I was saying earlier, like it's a little bit m'lady, I think, but I think it's so cute. I think it's cute. Yeah. I'll give him a pass for this one. Just leave me wanting more. How do you get to me? Shall we get intimate again? How do you get to me? Shall we get intimate again? Shall we get intimate again? Shall we get intimate again? I think so. Shall we? It's so cute.
So good. Makes you want to say yeah.
Right. You're like, all right. Come on over, man. Let's so
it's kind of gaslighting if you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hereby canceling Walk the Moon.
Well, should we talk about?
Now seems like a good time to talk about.
Yeah. Kevin Rae.
Kevin.
Are you familiar with this?
I'm not familiar with this.
This was
2020.
Would you like to?
No.
Okay.
No.
This is
I don't know all the details. I
don't know all the details either. And it, I don't know. I haven't like super, super dug deep on it. I think this is one of those situations where like there was no like police report or no like one concrete, like this is exactly what happened. However, in 2020, sort of anecdotes and accusations toward the guitar player on this album, On Talking Is Hard, and I believe on the album after that, Kevin Ray, there were stories and allegations of him cheating on his wife with underage fans, being flirty and advancing. And again, like, I also don't have the details, but he was booted from the band in 2020 for, quote, like, not acting in alignment with the band's values, which, you know. So rough. That's something to note.
I think that's a fine statement to make.
I think that's fine.
They're doing the right thing of kicking him out.
Of course.
Yeah.
If anyone in this band was going to be gaslighting.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah. Which, personally, I was also so pissed that it was him because I thought he was the cutest in the band.
Oh, man.
And then I was like, fuck out of here, man. Mm-mm.
Cute factor, gone.
Gone. Gone. Any attraction, gone. Buried.
Unfortunately, speaking of underage people.
Yeah.
I have a positive tangent.
Good. Thank you.
They visited, I think, like a school or a church or something for a day, maybe two or longer, teaching their songs to younger students and just like having them sing along. Aww, like,
that's nice.
They did like different choir parts, different harmonies. It's on YouTube. I haven't sought it out. Sought?
Yeah.
Searched it out much. Kim just cut in whatever word was right.
I like when guests start catching on. Like, we could just make Cam do anything we want.
I actually do know Cam.
Cam, will you make a... Yeah, you probably do. Cam, will you make a chicken noise right here? Thanks, Cam.
Can I get a... old-timey car horn?
Yeah, oh, that's good.
Can I get, like, from freesounds.org, some guy just going like, oh, yeah!
Oh, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
And how about a little punch?
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, if I don't know if you have the means to pull that off.
Yeah, let me see.
I think there'll be a cool little clip.
We could play some of it.
And it's like a documentary style where like the camera follows them around like each member teaching their stuff.
So this is a video from 2012. This is like right before this album came out. Mm-hmm. They're going to play Anna Sun with some little cutie babies. Oh, with some little tiny kiddos.
They're good too. That always doesn't happen, you know?
All of them are so into it with the body movement. First of all, imagine hearing your song sung like that.
Right. Would break my heart into a million little pieces.
All the kids just know all the words.
Oh my God.
They have no idea what a mezzanine is, but they'll say it.
Yeah. Of course.
I don't know what a mezzanine is, really.
I think it's like a lobby, like a foyer.
I think it's like an upstairs lobby. Like a hotel where like there's the ground floor and you go up a couple stairs and there's kind of like another, maybe like a lounge.
I'm imagining like windows. That's when I think of mezzanine. I think of like... Like a three-windowed room.
They could have windows.
Yeah.
I'm sure that, yeah. I doubt the two are mutually exclusive.
Like that, Josh. Yeah. You're just like, this guy's onto something. There's definitely windows.
I'm following.
How beautiful is that?
That's really so sweet. And I feel like, I don't know, I know a lot of their Walk the Moon's vibe is very like, this is a communal experience. And like, we're all here to like sing fun songs together. Mm-hmm. And I think introducing that to little kiddos is also very, very, very special. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sweet and wonderful. And it's better than singing like Scarborough Fair, you know, which is what I had to sing when I was in choir.
Take me out to the ball game.
Right. Yeah.
Cotton Eye Joe.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
But not as fun.
It's not wholesome.
And not as, there's not as much heart in Cotton Eye Joe.
It's such an open-ended song. Like, where did you come from? Right. Where do you go?
It's and you never get the questions. Answers.
No answers.
No answers.
Walk the Moon covering Cotton Eye Joe.
They actually did choir. Something with the choir.
No. I would freak out.
Speaking of choir.
Speaking of freaking out, Lions.
Interesting choice of song, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like an interlude. They've named it something.
Yeah.
And then in the next track, Iscariot, they reference Lion.
Yeah.
I just wonder what the heck.
I know. It's such an interesting choice.
I was reading how it kind of like marks kind of like a turning point in the album.
Right.
Kind of very like Kate Bush, right?
Sure.
Like, okay, like now we're doing something else.
Yeah. Even though it's not like, it's like definitely past the halfway point.
Yeah. We're like the last three.
We're in our third act.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we needed it. I don't know if I hate it though. Like it's.
No.
You can take it or leave it.
But to me, it really just kind of blends in with Iscariot.
It's just kind of.
Real.
An okay instrumental, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's just kind of ambient-y, guitar-y. Mm-hmm. It's 35 seconds. Like.
It has a beat. Which is interesting.
Oh.
It does play a little bit.
I don't remember the beat.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. It's that soft little slipper of a four on the floor.
It's like a little heartbeat.
The bathroom break of song.
It's the intermission.
It's
kind of shoegazy. That's a joke. Anytime there's a guitar effect, people are like, is that shoegaze? Look at that, that's just a guitar with like two pedals on.
Well, joke's on me for agreeing with that.
I don't know enough about shoegaze to make that statement earnestly.
But Lines does transition really well into the next song, Iscariot.
I googled Iscariot because I did not read it as Iscariot. I was like, I don't know this word. Let me Google it. And then I immediately googled, is Walk the Moon religious?
So it doesn't mean like a mythical creature or something?
Here's the tea that I found from genius.com, which was not my take of this song. Because when I say this song had me bawling in high school.
Beautiful song.
Sitting on my bed, the lights are low, and I'm just like, oh my god, I hope I'm never betrayed by anyone. Never ever knew what this song might be about, but I'm googling it. Judas from the Bible, his last name is Iscariot.
Yeah, and that's so like they could have named it Judas and people would have caught on right away.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
But I'm like, what is an Iscariot?
No, absolutely. I don't know why I thought, what's Icarus? I always thought of Icarus.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like the kid who flew too close to the sun, right?
Yeah.
I always conflated the two. Sort of
like Greek mythology, right?
Yeah. But then I looked it up and learned for the first time ever that this is a little bit like Jesus singing to Judas is people's, I don't know if it's people's interpretation of it or if it's what it actually is, but it's like the writing is there, like Judas Iscariot. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at the lyrics, it's kind of like, oh yeah, damn, this guy did his friend really dirty and his friend's being kind of wise about it.
Yeah, I thought maybe they were just using it as an extended metaphor for betrayal.
Right.
Just kind of out of pocket. But I guess maybe that's why they put the instrumental there to be like, all right, Now we're gonna be
open your Bibles to page.
All rise.
I'm Jewish.
Oh.
Grew up Jewish, so I cannot comment.
Great.
On what any of that. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Awesome.
And again, like, didn't register the lyrics. I thought he was talking about his brother or like his close friend.
Yeah. Which I think is also a really valid interpretation and one that I had for a long, 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 long time. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find out definitively if they were Christian or not.
I don't know. I could see it maybe being like a low-key chill Christian. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying any like crazy weird vibes, but sort of the story of Jesus and Judas is like Judas was going to backstab Jesus. And Jesus was like, I know you're going to backstab me. I'm going to be real disappointed if you do it. I forget what Judas actually did. I was like raised Christian. I don't remember.
Yeah, but it's like, yeah, so he like Judas like got 12 cents from the Romans. And he was like, that's enough money, I guess.
Yeah.
No, actually, it was like a good amount of gold. Then he kissed Jesus on the cheek, and that's how he told the Romans who Jesus was.
Mm.
But if he didn't do that, Jesus wouldn't die for our sins. So Judas is kind of like the real one here, right?
Judas kind of made the Bible happen. Even though he's like a backstabbing bitch.
I want to highlight the man kissing another man.
Yeah.
Fellas, is it gay to kiss your bro to let the Romans know who to arrest?
Hey, I need to let the Romans know. Is it okay to wash his feet and then kiss him?
That sounds intimate.
It's not Pride Month anymore, but I would like to label the Bible as LGBTQ+ friendly.
Yeah. Maybe like a historic text for the gays.
Yes. You know who would love to hear that?
Hmm.
Like Westboro Church.
We should send him this podcast.
Your Republican person of interest.
Yes. Oh, he's married now. Anyway.
To a man.
Class. I wish. I would have been like, yes!
Please listen to Iscariot in its entirety. With no other distractions or sounds.
I never imagined you dead.
Bonavir?
But tell me,
is that you?
Are you even aware that all that we did, you are? Iscariot, you fool. Well, that's what you want, but it's not what you're asking for.
There is some of that is like church worship vibes.
It is giving a little bit gospel choir. Yeah. But I'm also like, we're getting some pipes here. Like, the song is really beautiful.
Yeah.
Very soulful.
Did they do this one with the kids choir?
I didn't see it.
That would be absolute tear jerk.
Tear
worthy.
Absolutely. I saw one other song with the kids choir. I'll let you know which one when we get to it. Okay. But you can probably infer, based on the last two songs that we have, which one they would want kids to sing. But yeah, Iscariot.
Mm-hmm.
That's
I'll follow you in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So next we get Fixin', which is like our wordiest track. We've been pretty like repeat stuff,
uh-huh.
repeat stuff, which normally I diss on, but it's fine in this context because they're so good. But we get a lot of verbiage in Fixin'.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it. We tell like a whole big story.
This one feels very whimsical to me. Mm-hmm. Like I hear that, I'm going to play the intro really quick.
I saw a glimpse, a shimmer, a shadow of something I had once but since lost and now.
Like, that's a forest nymph. Like, that's so cute.
I always found it kind of jarring coming out of Iscariot.
Yes. Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, because, like, how do you, what's the best way to follow that?
Yeah. I would even put lines after it.
Yeah. Kind of a cool down period.
Yeah. A post credit. It feels like a post credit scene.
Alliance would have been better after it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at the lyric sheet, actually, from the record LP.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny seems to be longer.
Mm.
This is Fixin. Also, not even, they didn't put the name. They just scribbled.
Oh, weird.
the lyric sheet on the record is all this cool handwritten stuff.
That's cool.
And we're trying to figure out, like, who wrote this? Was it a graphic designer? Was it, like, the band?
Right. Yeah. I have no idea. Fixin's interesting. Mm-hmm. Fixin. Mm-hmm. Pardon me. They had some interesting tempo changes and such going on with this one, which I thought was fun. We got a couple of fun switch 'em ups. Other than that, though, if I'm being real, this is not a super standout one for me when it's between Iscariot and I Can Lift a Car. Yeah. TBQH.
The jarringness of that intro has tainted my view of the song. It's, mm-hmm. It becomes an automatic skip. Or not, if I had to skip a song on the album, it would be that one.
Mm-hmm. Just I think the chorus is fun. Like, mm-hmm. It gets stuck in my head. It's a little earwormy. That's kind of where that lands for me.
I know a lot of, like, so they had, like, an EP before this with some of the songs on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's, like, an EP after this with some of the songs on
it. Tightrope EP.
And so, like, I just kind of feel like this was just, like, one of the maybes for a long time, and it finally landed on a record.
Sure.
But it could have not.
I think that's fair.
That's something I think about when I think about why Lions is on here. Mm-hmm. Just like to add another track to make it a longer thing.
Another, I'm doing air quotes here, track.
Yeah, who
it's like
puts,
a ringtone.
Who puts an album on a track that's just noise and like calls it something like Tilde or something? classic rock.
Classic rock. Yeah, that's right. Link in description.
Link in description.
Well... Now I'm wondering if I Can Lift a Car is Jesus-y.
I love I Can Lift a Car. Mm-hmm. This is easily one of my favorites on the album. And it's the other one that the kids learned, which I think is so cute.
By far the most fun audience participation. Absolutely. So easy, so accessible. Just a fun song.
Yeah. When they might have done the same thing when you saw them live. But when they played I Can Lift a Car, they had everyone raise the roof during the chorus. Aww. Like, you lifted this car. And I was like, yes! I was eating it up. this song is so sweet. I want to know what y'all thought.
It's hard to dive deeper than just how fun it is.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's inspiring to mm-hmm. people to just think to themselves, maybe I can lift a car. Mm-hmm. Hopefully not literally. Don't try that.
You might strain your back muscles.
Yeah. So there's like those videos of the people that like have such an adrenaline rush, like sure. after a car accident or something, they literally do lift a car.
Yeah.
It's
kind of crazy.
So that's kind of like what brought it to my mind. I'm like this intense,
some active.
So much adrenaline. They wrote a song about it.
So much adrenaline. Really, he just had like a 4-hour energy. And he's like, I can lift a car right now. All by myself.
I have a small personal story with Please. This song.
Is it about peeing your pants in fourth grade?
No.
Okay.
It's about Chicago.
Aw.
Because, well, okay. So right before I moved to the city, this is late 2016, me and my mom and my sister took a little girls trip to San Diego. It was kind of a last hurrah before I moved out of the house for college. Mm-hmm. And we're flying back into Chicago. And the pilot kind of took that little, like, you're waiting for space on the runway, so I'm going to do a loop over the lake, and you get to see mm-hmm. downtown. And it's dark out, and I had ordered a tea on the flight, mm-hmm. so I'm just feeling very cozy. And this song comes on, the playlist that I was listening to, and there's a line that says, I hope you like it in Chicago. Aww. I'm like on this plane and I'm seeing the city and I'm about to move here for college.
Like, I do.
And I was like, I hope I do too. It felt like this little like well wish, this little like kiss on the forehead. Aww. And this was like the song we were listening to when like the plane landed. And I was like, I'm going to move here and it's going to be a moment. I'm going to fucking love it. So I think about that every single time that line hits because it was just so perfect for that moment. Yeah. And so I hold this song very near and dear to me.
Zach, do you have a favorite line and a elaborate memory?
Yeah. Yeah. Reach deep into your soul.
One time I was listening to this song on the playground.
Uh-huh.
And and a friend ran in front of me, and then they went and peed their pants. Like, we could see it dripping. We were like all on the same playground still. It was really straight. And then they just put a jacket around instead of like going to the nurse like a normal kid.
She went over to the bench and we're like, we can still see you.
Wow, so this song makes you think of that? That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful. I also have a little bit of a gay story.
Oh, yeah, tell that one.
If I may, I know it's not Pride Month anymore, but...
Every month is Pride Month.
Gays clocking. I remember also listening to this song in high school when I was, like, not out to anybody. And there's the line, like, she kissed me on my new futon and I'm clumsy because she finds me attractive. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's, like, a man singing the song and it's, like, a heterosexual song. But for whatever reason, I would listen to this and, like, picture myself as the narrator and have the she be, like, this big reveal. Mm-hmm. Where it's, like, I'm kissing a girl now. And, oh, my God, I can't believe a girl likes me. So that's my little gay moment with this song as well.
They seem to be very approachable from all audiences.
Totally.
That seems like if you like told Nicholas
yes.
that story, he'd be like, love it. Love to love hear it. That's what we wanted.
Gorgeous.
A real to his or her own, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Walk the Moon is, at least with this album, for the people. For the people, by the people, with the people.
That's all the tracks, folks.
We don't get it. I wish we could
keep going.
More we can tracks. Start over.
Yeah, should we go to the tightrope EP next? Yeah. Just do a couple of the same songs.
But sadly, and not sadly, we have to award over Brewski.
Yeah, all good things come to an end.
Yeah.
The results are in, and we're here at the Brewski. Steve Martin's here.
Hello.
We put a mic on Steve Martin for some reason. The results are in. The award for the iconic snowball dance at a bar mitzvah goes to Walk the Moon by Walk the Moon. Woo! For those of you who don't know, the snowball dance is where the person of the night, the person getting a bar bat mitzvah at the party, not the ceremony, they start in the middle of a circle surrounded by friends and family, very awkward in itself. But now you have to dance with someone, one other person. It's a one-on-one dance until the DJ says snowball, and then each person breaks off and finds a new dance partner. Then they would say snowball again, and then it just gets bigger and bigger. This album brings me those vibes. Not so much the awkwardness and the peak puberty business, but I've shared a lot of experiences with people, meeting new people, bonding over this album. I feel like that gives a...
It makes it a snowball dance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's giving snowball.
It's giving snowball. Well, thank you so much for listening, y'all at home. Hope you're ending this episode with some sweet, cozy, happy vibes in your heart, because I know that we sure are. We are Album Reprews, and it's season 4, and we'll continue to be Album Reprews. Mm-hmm. If you want to check us out on Twitter or Instagram, it is at Album Rebrews. And if you want to take a look at our website, which has a guest host submission form, we're booking, baby. It's www.albumrebrews.com.
A giant thank you to Cameron Bopp, our editor and singer-songwriter extraordinaire. We put him to work this episode. We sure did.
Thanks, Cameron.
Do another punch. Thank you, Cam.
Pick the best one. Oh, and don't forget my...
Yeah.
I need it.
We could not do this show without Cameron. The art is truly in the edit on this show, and we sure do appreciate him. Go follow him on Twitter at CamBopp. CamBopp. Is he a PP boy?
Follow him to find out.
Another big
thank you. Speaking of PP.
Oh, yeah. a giant thank you to another PP boy, Josh Kane, yes! Lead singer and guitar player, Pretty Please.
That's me, a PP boy. Yeah! Pretty
Please boy. That'd be good merch, honestly. I would wear a shirt that's a PP boy.
You've got to go check out Pretty Please, the PP boy t-shirt. No. Yeah.
Link in description.
God, I have to do that now.
Shit, no, it's canon. Now it's sorry. Canon. Sorry.
You got a couple weeks since before this episode comes out. Yeah. Go check out Pretty Please's newest record. I haven't heard it yet, but I know it rocks already because it's called Classic Rock. Link in description. Go check it out. Go follow him on Instagram at Pretty Please Band. It is Pretty Pleased, ED, not Pretty Please.
That's what you'll say when you're waiting for another Pretty Pleased album, because you've already listened to Classic Rock so many times, and you're so hungry for more. You're like, Pretty Please, Pretty Pleased. May I Pretty Please have more Classic Rock?
Can you say the band name a couple more times?
Pretty Pleased.
Pretty Pleased.
Pretty Pleased.
I'm pretty pleased by this guest appearance.
Oh, and the joke has ruined it. I just get paid by the amount of times this gets said.
Oh, so, gotcha. Gotcha.
It's in the contract.
Josh, anything you want to say to the folks before we get on out of here?
Thank you for having me. Thank you for listening, folks. It's a true honor to be here. I've been a fan from afar for this whole time, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad we could work it out. I'm glad I finally put something out to promote. But, I mean, even if not, I would have loved to do this. It's rare I get to talk, especially to this extent, about one thing. And I'm glad it was Walk the Moon. And I'm glad we could share it.
Same.
Yeah, ditto.
Well, to cap things off and send our listeners off sweetly into the rest of their day or night, in the same order that we introduced ourselves, we're going to get very close to the mic. Feel free to smile and say a very tender ASMR goodbye. So I'll go first. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.